Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. First, I'd like to say thank you to all our veterans on this Veterans Day. Can't even imagine what you've done for this country. Your effort, your commitment is certainly greatly appreciated. And my co-host, Stan Friedman, is in Anaheim, California today. Stan, how is the weather out in Anaheim?
You know, Paul, it's beautiful. The sun's shining, which is something I haven't seen for the past 2 weeks in Atlanta. But, hey, there was a little chill in the air out here yesterday, a little cooler when I got into the Uber than I expected it might be. But it's sunny California, and it's certainly living up to that billing.
Well, that's good. And we're right at the verge of the West Coast Franchise Expo, which you're there for, and FRM Solutions is a platinum sponsor. Is that not correct?
It is correct, and proud to be involved with the MFV guys, Tom Portese, Rich Del Giorno, Jim Mestandria, the entire crew. We kind of tag along with MFV for all of their three major shows as a corporate sponsor, and what a better opportunity for us to rub shoulders with all the franchisors that are out here, to rub shoulders with all the prospects that they're trying to attract to their brands. And it's just a couple of excellent days of franchise development people all together in one place. It'll actually be the last time that this show happens out here in California. They moved it here to Anaheim a couple of years ago, Paul, as you'll remember, and hoping that Anaheim might have been a better venue than downtown L.A., but I'm looking forward to the move to Denver next year, because Denver being to the western half of the U.S., what Atlanta is to the eastern half, as a major capital for franchisors and a major franchising city, I think this show will get a real big lift in Denver next year.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And if you were in Denver today, you would be in the middle of a snowstorm, as I saw in the weather this morning. So I guess one more year in Anaheim will do you well. You know, Stan, I know Entrepreneur Magazine is very much involved in MFE Expos and in this West Coast Franchise Expo. And I saw a great article by one of their writers who I really admire, Jason Daly. And this was in the November issue of Entrepreneur and was on entrepreneur.com yesterday. And it's so timely, of course, with Veterans Day, and the title is From Battlefield to Business. These companies are looking to hire veterans. So I highly suggest people take a look at that. But I'll give a quick excerpt out of it. He says, over the next decade and a half, the VetFan program, which of course we know is the IFA program for veterans entering franchising or being exposed to franchising, the program had periods of highs and low activity. But in 2007, as increasing numbers of those who'd serve in Iraq and Afghanistan began transitioning out of the military, member brands ramped things up, and the VetFran program of the IFA, designed to educate vets about franchising and connect them with companies offering incentives, really took another leap. In 2011, they launched Hiring Our Heroes, a program aimed at bringing 80,000 veterans into the franchise industry. And Stan, as of 2014, it had brought 203,000-plus former service members into the fold, including 5,600 franchisees. And today, VetFran comprises nearly 700 franchise brands. George Eldridge, program manager of VetFran, who left active duty in 2012, said, in February, I visited with Budget Blinds, who, Stan, I know you know very well, which waives their $75,000 franchise fee for veterans. They're so impressed by the vets they've worked with that they wanted more. And, of course, as George says, that was nice to hear. Here's a company making decisions, not on what vets have done in the past, but what they can do now. No vet wants a handout. All the franchise brands that have been spoken to say the same thing. They wouldn't be doing the VetFan program if there was not a return on investment. Just a tremendous effort that continues in franchising with the VetFan program.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly got legs, Paul, and it makes nothing but sense. And as we get into the discussion today with Michael Stone, who is going to be talking with us about our PAFI program, you know, we're kind of looking ahead to try to figure out some ways to engage veterans and PAFI as well, and we'll talk more about that as the program unfolds. But it is Veterans Day, and I'm proud to have you talk about the VetFram program and the article in Entrepreneur. Very timely.
Yep. There was also some interesting news in the financial world. McDonald's gives investors a Happy Meal, which was the headline yesterday in USA Today. And their shares gained as investors applauded moves announced Friday at the company's investor meeting. McDonald's rattled off a menu of items aimed at keeping investors interested in its ongoing turnaround efforts. Of course, they've been looking for ways to boost revenue growth and extract higher profit from its operations. Shares have soared. They talked about boosting the number of franchises, meaning refranchise some of their corporate locations. And the goal is over the next few years to be 95% franchised. The thing that gets me is, you know, I'm excited to see a plan in place for McDonald's to shore up corporate operations. What I really think we need to see are more plans to improve franchisee profits, as recent efforts, in my opinion, will just scratch the surface for this once stellar brand. Driving franchisee profitability is the only thing, Stan, that I believe will take this brand back to the top in franchising.
It's kind of funny, Paul, you know, that with all of the banter and all of the angst and anguish that we hear about SEIU and NLRB and McDonald's being at the center of a lot of the noise as pertains to joint employer, it might well be that out of those ashes comes the rising phoenix with what they're doing overseas, and I'm certain it's not going to be too long before we start seeing the automated kiosks here, which should drive down some of the labor lines and do something, hopefully positively, to influence customer experience. At least it will make it more consistent, because whatever the automation is that they're going to use to serve up your meal at one location is certainly going to be the same at all. So there may be some a bright side or maybe a silver lining in that cloud. But, yeah, McDonald's to me is, you know, they say some things like banks are too big to fail. McDonald's is just too iconic to go anywhere. What would we do without our Egg McMuffins? Come on, Paul.
I know. Too big to fail, I guess. of course, that's the big talk amongst the political circles right now. You know, Stan, yes. We added a segment this year called You Just Can't Make This Stuff Up, and I've got a great one here. Newport Beach man imprisoned for bilking investors with bogus Mideast In-N-Out burger franchises. He was sentenced to 24 months in federal prison for bilking investors of millions of dollars with false promises of opening the iconic In-N-Out burger in the Middle East. He was sentenced Monday after pleading guilty in June to one count of wire fraud, admitting that he fraudulently solicited, get this, more than $4.27 million from investors who were told that each franchise cost approximately $150,000 plus another $250,000 a year for royalties. Throughout last year, the individual Craig Stevens carried out a scheme to solicit these prospective investors to acquire In-N-Out in the Middle East. He knew all too well he did not own any franchising rights and wasn't authorized to represent In-N-Out, an Irvine-based privately held company, and as we know all too well, Stan, is not a franchise organization.
It is, however, a revered brand that's got such an iconic following. I mean, you know, to do something like that and blemish the name of an In-N-Out burger in the process is almost sacrilege. But it's kind of ironic that I got to see that piece yesterday courtesy of another of our former guests and great friends of the Franchise Today podcast, Ron Feldman, posted that up on Facebook, because those who know Ron know that second to fine red wine, there's nothing he loves more than In-N-Out burgers.
Well, I don't know. I think a real good steak might follow the wine, but certainly In-N-Out, I would agree, would be in the top three. But, you know, Stan, you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, $4-point-something million. I mean, when this guy gets out, it's too bad somebody wouldn't hire him as a franchise development person. He can sell.
Yeah, I don't think, though. I don't think, though, that his talents are what we need in Fran Dev these days, Paul.
No,
I think we need to be moving the needle in the other direction.
Yeah, I think so. Kind of on the heels of Jordan Belfort at one of the conferences a couple of years
ago. There you go. There you go.
The Wolf of Wall Street. Kidding aside, we do have a serious show today, Stan, as you know all too well. NFL veteran Michael Stone joins us again on Franchise Today, and we'll be discussing athletes and suppliers who have come together to successfully advance the business model of pro athlete in franchising. Stan, I know you know it all too well, being very much involved, and join me in welcoming Michael back to the show. Michael, welcome back to Franchise Today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul. How's it going, Stan?
All good, Michael, all good. Glad you're here.
Yep.
Boy,
I suddenly have
really
a taste for In-N-Out burgers myself, too, here in our burger talk.
Well, I tell you, we've all now been hungry. The only problem is, Michael, Stan is the only one that could act upon it right after this show, because he's probably close to being down the street from an In-N-Out burger right now.
Yeah, kind of like Chick-fil-A back in Atlanta. There's almost every street corner right here, or one right nearby has got that In-N-Out burger sign hanging on the storefront.
So,
for sure.
Michael, as we were saying right before the show, I mean, it's been some time since you were last on Franchise Today. I think it goes back 4 or 5 years. And, of course, this is the 7th year of the Professional Athlete Franchise Initiative. So for our listening audience, give us some high-level view of what the initiative actually is.
Okay, I think that's an easy one for me at this point. But our core message is educational. You know, our goal is to educate the professional athlete community about franchising, and really to open up some eyes to some new opportunities in franchising for guys who may have money and are looking for, you know, ways to invest themselves and work on their second career. And even on the flip side, and this is more where Stan has brought a lot of value, is we're also opening eyes up and educating the franchisor community about the value of having a professional athlete in their system that understands, that has well-managed expectations, and is ready to grow in a new business.
You know, looking at the website, it talks about advocating the value of the franchise industry to the professional athlete community. And, of course, those on the outside looking in hear a lot of the horror stories of athletes that have either been taken advantage of by so-called advisors. And I can't imagine what it would be like to have so many people nipping at your heels, just like as if you won the lottery, looking for, you know, some type of handout, loan, investor scheme, or whatever the case might be. So certainly this is a tremendous advantage for the athletes of today, because in my eyes, I mean, just the fact that, you know, you're a former NFL player yourself, I mean, to me, is just a great way of vetting out and having somebody that they can trust and have confidence in. And certainly you've surrounded yourself with some fabulous names, very reputable names in franchising. And, of course, I'm honored to call most of them my friends, but in particular Stan Friedman as my co-host. Stan, I mean, you've been involved, I believe, from day one. What attracted you to it? How did you get involved in this?
I kind of got involved in it through the IFA, Paul. you know, those who know me know that for many, many years I've been heads down working hard, trying to help build diversity through franchising and making the business case for diversity through franchising. And there's no place where you can find a more diverse pool to draw from than the world of professional sports. And when Mike Stone brought an idea to the IFA 7 or 8 years ago about the vision he had for helping professional athletes in their twilight years mitigate the opportunity that they usually found themselves with, which was play ball for a couple years and then you're out for either health reasons or whatever. You know, the numbers sound big in the beginning, how much money is made by an athlete, but, you know, in the NFL, you're only making it when you're playing it. And so you get cut and it's over. You didn't have the 30 years that most people have to ply their trade. But Michael brought this idea to the IFA, and the IFA brought the idea to John Reynolds because it seemed like an educational as well as a diversity issue. And John, as president of the Ed Foundation for the IFA, sat in the catbird seat in terms of whether IFA wanted to get engaged in this or not. Michael being in Atlanta and me being in Atlanta and me being a founding member of the diversity board, John suggested that I get to know Michael and see if it made sense for the diversity board to want to engage with Michael's idea for a summit. And that kind of was the beginning of this. Those many years ago, Michael and I became fast friends. And as we started to learn more about each other, what was, I guess, my original invitation to become a participant in a host committee for the very first summit. This is even before there was a PAFI. This was just a pro athlete franchising summit. And we did it, and we did it well, and we put together a great group of franchise professionals to help guide that initial summit. And then Michael and I started putting our heads down toward the idea of making this a regular thing. And out of that came the birth of PAFI.
Very interesting. Michael, what are some of the myths that people have latched onto about, you know, the financial position of these players that, you know, sign these bonuses and making all these kinds of money and rich for life and everything else? What is the reality? What is the reality?
You know, I think the biggest thing, I think media plays a big role in it. You see the big deals coming on ESPN, so-and-so signs for $100 million here to $50 million here. And especially in a profession, I play professional football, most of that money is not made. You know, in 50% of the cases, you won't see half of the money of that contract. You have to, you know, you have to, a lot of people, you know, sitting at home watching on ESPN don't realize those are 8 to 10 year contracts, and you have to play every year that contract. And if you get cut halfway through it, you see half of the contract. So, and I think another thing, you know, coming from the sport, coming from professional football, I realize is that, you know, whatever money you make, like Stan said, you have a finite time to make it. You have a finite career potential, and that money has to last you a long time afterwards. So, you know, I think everybody looks at, you know, professional athletes as if they have expendable cash. And in many cases, they do have cash. It's not very expendable. It has to last a long time. And they have to make a lot of smart decisions in order to make it last and to keep the lifestyle they created when they were playing professional sports.
So the other myth, too, and you talked about it, you know, having to play a long time. I remember going back when you were last on the show, you told us what the average career span is for an NFL player. Would you care to share what it is today?
It's probably the same. The funny thing is there's not a lot of people doing a lot of research on it. And that could be for a lot of reasons. But you know, they're still working off the same information as before. I know that I think with the NBA now, it is within 5 years, 60% of NBA players files for bankruptcy. But the numbers aren't good, and the funny thing about it is the numbers aren't good just because, I mean, you look at the situation. You're making a lot of money when you're real young. You don't have a lot of time to make mistakes with your money. the mistakes you're making with your money because it's so big are usually big mistakes. And it's hard to rebound from big mistakes when you have a short amount of time to make the money to rebound. So if you're a doctor and you're going to be in have a career for 30 years, you can make a few, you know, million-dollar mistakes or half-million-dollar mistakes early on and rebound. But if you're in the NFL and you have a two-and-a-half-year career, you better not be making any mistakes, and you better be have a great plan for when you retire.
And that figure is approximately 2.5 years of the average career expectancy.
Average.
Isn't that correct? Wow. You know,
exactly.
Of course, we hear the big names on TV all the time, and they've been around forever. But the ones that are mostly in the trenches and potential injuries and everything else that goes on in professional sports, they all of a sudden, you know, go by the wayside, and just some horrible stories. But on the good side of things, Pappy is helping many. Stan, what has been some of the success that has actually occurred between athletes and franchises?
Well, Paul, I think that one of the greatest successes that I can look at year over year with what this initiative has accomplished, I remember the very first summit that we did. These guys came. They learned about us virally and through some of the connections that Michael had made with leagues and players. But most of the guys that came to the summit came with their arms folded, and they were very defensive in their posture. And I think these guys were sitting around, you know, just expecting we people from franchising, who I deemed the suits, to be poking at them and trying to, you know, take something from them. It's just kind of the way it is in their world. There's always somebody poking at them to spend some money on this, that, or the other thing. Over the years, what I have observed as we've done our summits now 6 times is the messaging that's getting out there and what we've accomplished with some of the successes that have taken place from early stage franchisees that used to be athletes coming back now in second and third years and actually speaking at our summits. What we're seeing now is not just veterans coming with arms unfolded, but young guys. We're seeing early stage athletes, which is a beautiful thing. And in fact, I would love to see us extending and reaching into the college rosters and getting athletes thinking ahead so that they understand that it's not about the game. The game is just a chapter in their life. The game is a point of entry. The game is actually a rite of passage. Whatever they get to do in the world of sports is going to be so finite as to be like a drop of water in the ocean. Take what you're given as a gift in your ability to perform and earn some portion of that big money, and think of it like a Christmas club. Start parking that money now, because it might be 20 or 25 years before you can touch your 401k, and you're going to have a whole lot of years ahead of you that you still need to produce income. And so I see these guys coming to the summits now better prepared, actually excited and understanding what they're coming to hear. And that, to me, says that what we've done so far is breeding success going forward to enable the story to get out there in a positive way and bring prepared athletes who understand that they can take some of the skills that were part of the success of their professional life in sports and transfer those skills from executing against your position and the plays in your playbook to executing against a new position in a sport that never goes out of season. Whatever it is that your franchise business is serving the community by offering, execute, execute, execute. And now you're doing it from an ops manual. And as we continue to bring more and more of these transitioning players to this new sport of franchising, it's very gratifying to see them back taking second and third bites of apples and helping to transfer information to the next upcoming class of potential athlete franchisees and help them through that transition as well. It really feels good, Paul.
It definitely more than a worthwhile initiative. I mean, too many of these, you know, I look at them a lot like entrepreneurs. I mean, mm-hmm. these athletes throughout their entire lives growing up, this is what their goal was. They strive to it. They work their butts off to get where they needed to be. and they earn it, and then to see, you know, some of that wither away, and a lot of times just because, quote unquote, they didn't know, they trusted people that they shouldn't have trusted, or whatever the case might be. I mean, it's really got a big burst of a balloon. Unfortunately, until initiatives like the Professional Athletes Franchise Initiative, as you said, Michael, if you're a doctor, you have a career of 30 years, and you can make those mistakes. Entrepreneurs can fail at a business venture and start one up again. They can't start a professional career in sports unless, of course, you're in the PGA and you can go to the senior PGA 30 years from now. But I don't think we really want to see football players playing at 50 years old in a league against other 50-year-olds. But, you know, they really don't have an opportunity beyond that. And that's why I think this initiative is just fantastic. As you said, mostly educational. Get them the information. Get them the guidance. Tremendous, tremendous kudos to you, to you both, for the commitment that you've made towards this this growing group that is going to be faced with challenge after challenge after challenge, and it's going to take, you know, certainly a steadfast effort. And I know you know that all too well.
Thanks, Paul. And it's really an exciting time because if you look at, you know, the trends going on in sports, the NFL TV deals are going to be three times larger in 5 years, they're saying. So that money is going to trickle down to athletes making even bigger salaries. So that, you know, with that income, you know, it opens up a lot of opportunities. So I know we're talking a little bit on the doom and gloom side, but there's going to be even more opportunity flushing into, you know, professional sports over the next 5 to 10 years. So, you know, our hope is that we put, you know, the athlete in a position to where they can make some, you know, some good decisions on what they invest in and really grow some wealth, you know, for when they finish playing.
And Paul, not to throw dark clouds or water on it, but, you know, we talked earlier in the program about veterans. I think it's important to be sure that veterans get into franchising for the right reason and that the right brands attract the right veterans and not just in a predatory fashion, just go chase them because there's a VetFran initiative and they can sell another deal. I think the same is true of the athletes. You know, there are so many different ways and levels that athletes can be engaged in franchising and so many opportunities to help them understand that in some cases, maybe you're going to get involved passively and you're just going to put money into a pool or, you know, like Keyshawn has done with a group where he just goes out and collects the money and helps these guys understand that they're putting their money away for a few years. They're not going to be running any of those businesses. They're just making investments that might do better for them in the short run than their portfolios would produce on Wall Street. There are other athletes that are getting into the business with a more engaging mindset, some that really want to be hands-on and engaged in the growth and the development or building wealth and legacy and giving back to the communities that they were brought up from and in. But, you know, it's like anything else in franchising. This is going to work when you marry the right people with the right opportunities in the right places at the right times and for the right reasons. And if you don't do that, if you don't follow that same formula here, we're going to have the potential for trains going off the tracks, just like you will in any franchise concept where the Zors focuses on the initial revenue line and not the long-term commitment to recurring revenue streams. And with that, Paul, I think I'm going to remind our audience that they are listening to Franchise Today. My name is Stan Friedman. And with Paul Segreto, we bring you this podcast weekly, sponsored by the Franchise Foundry, a business accelerator focused on moving emerging franchise brands forward, and by FRM Solutions, providing robust, out-of-the-box software solutions that are tailored specifically to the needs of franchisors for the management of potential and existing franchise relationships. And we're speaking today with Michael Stone, a 7-year veteran of the NFL, appropriate, Michael, that we have you as a veteran on Veterans Day. And and yours truly, who along with Michael 7 years ago helped bring life to the Pro Athlete Franchise Initiative. Hey, Mike, let's talk a little bit about some of the ideas that we've been kicking around. We haven't really gotten all this nailed down yet, but, you know, it's, I think, appropriate that today being Veterans Day, that we've talked about some of the ways to help bridge the way athletes and veterans may be able to come together and each, in a very, very creative and positive way, bring value to one another, much like what Keyshawn, with that passive investment, you know, maybe we can get athletes doing the same kind of things with veterans who come back after service to the country with all kinds of heart and soul and desire to grow and build, but they have everything but what? They have everything but the money. What do you think?
Capital.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's all about building a good team. And I think that, you know, if you want to create success, you know, you have to really put together a good team. You have somebody come in as a veteran from, you know, the same kind of mindset that you come from, an execution-based mind state. You know, I think, you know, if you can find those ways to team the veterans up with the athletes, then you can create some good teams. And they bring two different values, with the financial capital maybe coming from the athlete investor and the veteran operating as the operator. You know, you could definitely, there's definitely some potential there.
So I'm excited about that, Paul. And in fact, you know, timely, I'm here at the West Coast Expo, but Tom Portese and I have had a series of conversations around that idea and maybe being able to utilize the showcase of the educational segments that are promoted and delivered at the West Coast Expo, the IFE and Franchise Expo South, that we could perhaps use that platform as an ability to bring the intersection of athletes and veterans together, and through the educational classrooms that those expos provide and the curriculum that PAFI can deliver through that vehicle, you know, there's maybe another value and opportunity to do well by doing good, to help bring these communities together and tie the knot on some franchise opportunities that might never have otherwise happened, both for the athlete, for the veteran, and of course for the franchisor.
What a tremendous marriage that would be, just envisioning, you know, someone coming out of the service 20 years, let's say, already working within, you know, guidelines, a lot of discipline, working within systems, and looking for the next opportunity. And of course, the thing that's mostly missing with veterans would be capital, and marrying them with a professional athlete that has the capital and is looking to do something in the twilight and beyond of their career. And what a great marriage made in heaven, because, you know, you're taking it a step further. You know, even a lot of the principles, the training, the boot camps, you know, training camp, you know, you could parallel both so closely together that it does make sense, Dan. I think that's a tremendous thought, and I look forward to seeing that all come to very solid fruition.
So I think that leads, Michael, to an opportunity perhaps for us to talk a little bit about the advancement of PAFI. You know, we have for years been doing the annual summit in Atlanta, Paul, and basically it's boot camp. That's the first engagement with an athlete bringing his family, his spouse, his parents, his wealth advisor to come and learn about an opportunity to continue producing wealth and legacy beyond the playing days. And then we've got a fair number of successes that occur from those first engagements with us. But Michael and I have talked a lot about, you know, the need for more curriculum at a higher level, that we can continue not just to have success and then cut these guys loose, but what about continuing education and helping them raise their line of sight to maybe multi-unit franchising, and even looking for ways to engage the athletes with multi-unit franchisees who similarly might be looking for opportunities for capitalization of some of their development schedules. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you to spend some time talking a little bit about our commitment as an initiative toward ongoing education and certification of athletes for the training that they get as potential franchisees, and then raising the line of sight to some of the multi-unit things that we've been talking about doing as well.
Definitely. And I think that a lot of what we did early on with PAFI was try to find ways to inspire athletes to come to our sessions. So we focused a lot on putting media out about the successful athlete franchisees, the Junior Bridgemans, the Jamal Mashburns, and the Keyshawn Johnsons. We put a lot of that information out there, and it brought a lot of the athletes to the door to come to our summit for the first time, to start to even think about franchising. We brought a lot of people in the past 6 or so years through our educational process that are starting to open up, you know, their first franchise, starting to build the first partnership that opens a franchise, and we're starting to see these seeds being placed in the ground. And now we're getting to the point to where really our third part of our mission to inspire, educate, and develop, to where we're looking at how can we develop success stories and how can we really stay next to the athletes as they grow as franchisees. And that, you know, that kind of brings up what we're rolling out, what we've been in the process of rolling out for the past 2 years, our Certified Athlete Franchisee Program, which is very much like the CFE program, to where we take the athletes through continued exposure to education, through we have a mentorship program where we pair our athletes up with franchisee mentors, a discovery day process to where we encourage our athletes to go on some discoveries and some different brands to see what they're interested in. But it's all really geared towards, okay, now we have the eyes open of the athlete community. How do we make sure that we're really helping them along on making them successful? And I think that as our initiative, this is not a one-time thing for us. We've been around 7 years. We see the long-term opportunity here and long-term play. So, you know, as we go on, we're really going to start to tie into these athletes as they grow and develop and can be a continual resource and really, you know, be able to look back 10 to 20 years from now and really see the impact that was made through our initiative.
You know, and certainly we know professional sports are team efforts, and it's hard for any one individual to really carry the entire team, although some have had just some marvelous talent that have been able to take the team on their shoulders. But still, it's a team effort. And in this professional athlete franchising effort, it's also a team effort. You have some tremendous partners, Michael, and those are absolutely paramount to the future of the program and to the future success of the athletes coming through the program. Can you elaborate a little bit on what the partners bring to the table and maybe some of who those key partners actually are?
Oh, definitely. And I will say, you know, what came as a surprise is we definitely got some of the leagues to buy in. Because, I mean, it's we can put the effort out there, but if it's not coming from the higher voice of the leagues, the NFLs, the NBAs, you know, it kind of goes on deaf ears with the players. So I would say the NFL has played a big role in helping us get our message out. They have, we put together the first two NFL franchise boot camps. These are events totally paid for by the NFL, to where we came, you know, we partnered with the University of Michigan to deliver, you know, 3 days of education to NFL players, totally supported and paid for by the NFL. The NBA has also been, you know, supportive. They, you know, anytime we do an event, the NBA circulates invitations to every NBA player. We're working on MLB and NHL as well. And those are kind of our alliance partners, the people that are working on the backside to help us on the athlete side of things. If you look at the franchisor community, you know, we have more franchisors than you can name that have really just clung on to what we've done. And support it. We have members from the franchise supplier community that have also jumped aboard to be very supportive. You know, I hate to name a few and leave out more, but I mean, I can definitely name some standouts. I know Jersey Mike's has been along from day one. 7-Eleven has played a heavy role in what we've been doing. You know, And Stan, I know you can probably jump in and help me out. I hate to name a few and leave a lot out, but we've got a lot of support from suppliers and franchisors. I hate to, you know, leave anybody
out.
Yeah,
I mean, guys like Mike DiRezzo from CKE Restaurants and Massage Heights, and there's been, you know, the website is filled. I mean, actually sending people to the PAFI website, thepafi.org, you can find listed there all of the franchisor charter members and partners who have made every bit of this possible. There'd be none of this getting done without the financial participation of the charter members. And then within the advisory board, Lane Fisher, Dave McDougal, Ryan Cunningham, myself with George Tinsley, there's been so much guidance given. Jeff Hill at Rourke, Ron Feldman, all the help.
Jenna Bailey.
And Jana is not a member of the advisory board, but she's been an integral part of the educational process along with Kay Ainsley. When you look at all these people, Paul, what they represent is a 360-degree view. I mean, look at it like a clock. Just look at every hand on the clock, and every one of those ticking minutes represents another perspective or another point of view that you would want to share with an athlete who is trying to learn about franchising. And without the help of these advisors who deliver, it's just like, when we go to conventions and conferences, we don't go to preach about our companies, but we use all of the experience that we've gained from our years in franchising to help deliver to people who are just coming in the value propositions of sustainable growth. And our partners in terms of franchisors as well as professionals in franchising who have helped us create and deliver this curriculum have made all of this a reality that would otherwise just be something to talk about, but it's become very real.
Yeah, and the Board of Advisors is just a who's who in the franchise community, and two that you didn't mention. We certainly don't want them to feel bad. So that would be Brad Fishman and John Rashi, obviously two unbelievably experienced individuals in the franchise space.
Far be it for me to ever leave Fishman out of a sentence by accident. I wouldn't have done that on purpose, I promise you. And then John Rashi is actually the person who has opened my eyes to how important it is to take this message and push it down even further into the college locker rooms and even into the high schools. I mean, getting these kids to understand, because most of them are like teenagers in that they don't think it'll ever happen to them. You know, I'm immortal, you know? Well, no, you're not. And you're going to have this big gap. You're going to have this big gap between what you think you're worth and what reality looks like, and how are you going to fill those years where you still have to produce income but your body has quit. That's what this is about. And the earlier we can capture those young athletes, and Rashi was the one John's had a program where he's done this at Michigan for years and was talking to young athletes because of what happened to him. And a lot of people might not know that John Rashi story, but John is a high school football player, was quadriplegic, took a bad hit. God bless him, he was lucky enough to recapture his body, came back. But when you hear John tell the story about how his career virtually ended before it even started, it brings tears to your eyes.
Sure.
And so he's got the passion, again, to help these young kids think about what comes after the game, even before the game starts. And that's such a compelling message that Michael and I got from John. Take this further than just the pro athlete transition and go younger.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember a story coming out of after we had graduated from high school. There was a kid that was a defensive end that was a second or third string high school All-American and went on to Penn State. And I remember the first time he came back home and we got together, and he said, "Wow, you know, I thought I was king of the hill, and I went there and couldn't believe how many talented athletes were there." And he said, "All of a sudden, you know, here I was king of the hill, and I'm competing just to get a spot on the squad, and of course, redshirting and everything else." And he said, "It was just a smack to reality." And he took the path, and eventually, I believe he became an attorney and didn't go on. He played a good college career, but that was an eye-opener for him. And fortunately, he was able to fall back on that. And, of course, what we're talking about today was not
available to athletes and of course students that are preparing down the road for what their next steps are going to be. It's a challenge, you know. It's a challenge,
yeah.
And of course with money brings a lot of evil, and that's the sad thing about it.
So true, so true, and unfortunate. Did you say he became an attorney?
He became an attorney. Yes, he became an attorney, and he had a very good career at Penn State, but it gave him a little bit different perspective. And fortunately, he was able to fall back on something else.
Yeah,
and that's a tough part.
Yeah, and I think there are some transferable skills that anybody who's played sports on any level, you know, understand. You understand how to get knocked down, how to get back up, how to, you know, adjust and adapt to situations. And all those things that I think that if you educate yourself enough and put yourself in a good position, you can deploy those. And you can deploy those to be successful as an attorney, you know, as a doctor, lawyer, or a franchisee. And I think that our goal is to really help those, you know, the former athletes understand, you know, how to employ those transferable skills, you know, to execute in a franchise space.
So, Michael, why don't you tell us or tell the audience how franchisors that are hearing about PAFI perhaps for the first time today can become engaged and get more information and get involved and talk, too, about some of the extensions of partnership opportunities, because it's not just franchisors and our summits, but, I mean, even the NFL Wives Association. There are all these other ancillary opportunities for franchisors that want to be engaged in PAFI's work to benefit from what it is we do in helping them too. While we don't want them to look at this as an opportunity just to sell franchises, by no means, but the opportunity to expose their brands in some places that would otherwise not have happened is pretty compelling, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think that the partners that we work with or the members we work with that get the most value are the ones that come to bring value. So, you know, I think that, you know, being a part of PAFI is going to give you a great opportunity to network with the athlete community as a whole, whether it is the spouses, the financial advisors, the wealth managers, the leagues. It'll give that opportunity to network and bring value to that community. And in exchange for that value brought, you're going to meet a lot of new people. You're going to, you know, become a little bit more recognizable in those spaces. And I think it's a give and take that a lot of, you know, our brands have stayed around for a long time for. The way to be involved with PAFI, I guess the first point of contact, you should go to our website. It is thepafi.org. And, you know, to kind of check out our mission and get a feel for who we are and what we do. And there's some avenues through the website to contact us and become a member. We're a membership organization. We have a very low-cost membership fee. But what it does is it really represents, you know, a part of your commitment, but your bigger commitment is to be involved in our programs, be a mentor, come to our summits, play a role in the education and transformation of the professional athlete.
Excellent. Excellent. What's coming up, Stan or Mike, for PAFI with respect to the IFA?
Well, it's an interesting question, Paul, because the IFA was part of our life that for about a year, almost 2 years, was an officially sanctioned program, PAFI was, isn't anymore. And we've kind of moved through a juncture where we were trying very hard to get the player associations and the leagues themselves to work with us. And the only way that the leagues would talk to us was if IFA was involved. It turns out that the leagues themselves are really not where the growth of PAFI and its future is going to reside. It's the wealth managers. It's the advisors that handle the finances of these athletes that are bringing them to us in droves now. And so we've kind of moved away from the IFA relationship. IFA was more than preoccupied a little bit with all the government affairs and government relations and had an all-hands-on-deck approach toward managing GR. And so we stepped back and stepped aside, and we've got some things working with organizations that are still very much part of IFA, and IFA is still a part of PAFI. But we've evolved the relationship to a less formal one, and that's given us the freedom to be having conversations with Gary and Therese, and looking ahead toward the multi-unit franchise conference and our participation in it in April out in Vegas. And Michael, what else is on tap?
Yeah, I would say our next big opportunity and something we're really excited about is the multi-unit relationship, to where we'll be at the conference with a lot of multi-unit franchisees, and I think these are the people that the athletes need to become best friends with. So, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to really educate the multi-unit franchisee and make introduction between them and the athletes as well, because like we talked about before, that partnership component is a big key to success. So that will be coming up here in the spring. And you know, what we do throughout every day. I just got back from a conference out in Arizona last week, to where we're meeting with the Professional Sports Financial Advisors Association. So we're talking to those advisors who help the athletes manage their money. And actually tomorrow we'll be in Chicago. And I won't actually physically be there. We'll be with the NFL Wives Association, talking to the wives about the value of the franchising as an opportunity for them to get involved in and to spearhead at home. So we do a lot of small events throughout the year, and all of these, you know, kind of all add up to our annual conference, which is held every July. So, you know, like I said, we're beating the street, we're taking a grassroots approach, and we're taking all of our brands and our members along with us, you know, through all of our workshops and all of our education. So always a packed schedule.
Hey, Paul, I want to just piggyback on something that Michael just kind of touched on briefly, and that's the NFL Wives and the NFL Players Wives Association called Off the Field. You know, the wives have never had the ability, when their husbands were playing, to participate in their businesses. But when you come to our summits and see how engaged the wives are, this is their first opportunity to have something to do with getting into business with their spouses, and in many cases they have, and have been hugely successful. And the Players' Wives and the Off the Field organization, I've had the privilege of meeting some pretty incredibly talented and smart people supporting their husbands and now getting into business with them in the world of franchising. Opportunities like that would never have been present for our charter members. They would never have had the ability to make the kind of connections that they can make through those kinds of programs and those kinds of sponsorships. So it's all good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, Michael, I really appreciate you returning as a guest on Franchise Today. I wish you the best in your continued efforts and commitment to PAFI. To all those listening, if you want more interested on the Professional Athletes Franchise Initiative, go to thepafi.org. Thank you again, Michael.
Hey, appreciate the invite, Paul, and always good to talk to you, Stan.
Michael, pleasure having you with us. It's glad you were able to be here today.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
Well, Stan, definitely open a lot of people. This will open a lot of people's eyes within franchising that might not have even been aware of some of the efforts going on with professional athletes and franchising. And then, of course, the icing on the cake or the wives of these athletes, just a tremendous effort and commitment and a tremendous program. And I love the piggybacking together of athletes and veterans. What a perfect marriage of two strong individual groups combined together. I think it's a classic example where 1 + 1 would equal far more than 2.
If that doesn't define franchising, Paul, please tell me what does.
It ain't that, and it's not the guy selling In-N-Out burger franchises in the Middle East.
Yeah, you can't make it up is right.
So give us a little insight into the back of the house as we wrap up the show here, as we're running close to the top of the hour.
Well, I'm looking forward to the West Coast Expo kicks off tomorrow. I'm out here in Anaheim, and looking forward to just, you know, it's at these kinds of events where we get to take temperature and see what the mood of the industry is. But everybody seems to be very up-tempo right now, and I'm looking forward to several meetings out here and meeting with several franchisors, both those that are emerging as well as those that are legacy brands. And right on the heels of the West Coast Expo, which is right on the heels of Restaurant Finance earlier this week. This has been just an insane and crazy week for scheduling. Myself, I passed on Restaurant Finance regrettably, but I know there are many people that will be pulling into Anaheim tonight and tomorrow that are coming right from Vegas. So I'm anxious to get some feedback from those who will be attending both and hear how Restaurant Finance went this year. And, of course, I'll be here through the Saturday close of this conference back to Atlanta. And next week, the 18th and 19th, we roll into the Thanksgiving season with the IFA's Emerging Franchisor Conference down in Miami, which is one of my favorite events. You know, that conference was born out of Nova University's program, which
right.
IFA took over at, after Nova left the franchising space. But that conference, to me, is just the opportunity. It's a jewel of an opportunity to help those emerging early-stage franchisors understand that scaling a business professionally is not the same as operating one. And even for those franchisors who operated and proved their concepts with a couple or three or even four or more company-owned operating units, to get into an environment where the curriculum of the day-and-a-half program is about nothing but recurring revenue. It's about nothing but sustainable growth and building a business for scale professionally, to me is a great event, and I'm proud to sponsor it because it does help some of those franchisors, early-stage franchisors, quickly learn that they've got to put a universe around them of properly chosen people to guide their growth and development so that they can put sustainable in front of growth as their businesses take off and run.
Absolutely. And you travel safe, that's for sure. And next week we have coming back as a guest, Shelley Sun, the co-founder and CEO at Brightstar. Really looking forward to talking with Shelley, as I always do. I think she has just a tremendous amount of insight and experience to share with many of our listeners. And also, I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more of her insight into the NLRB ruling, which I know she's been very actively involved in sharing her insight and opinion on behalf of franchising. So that's going to be a great show. And then, as you said, we're leading into the Thanksgiving holiday afterwards, and 2 weeks from today, the day before Thanksgiving, we will have a replay on, and then we'll presume everybody will have a great holiday. And then the next week, we will continue with live editions of Franchise Today. It's hard to believe we're already into the holiday season, Stan.
Can't believe it either, Paul. It's just that this whole year has just been like a buzzsaw. I mean, this whole year has just zipped by in a hurry. And by the way, next week, I can't wait to ask Shelley a little bit about her political aspirations, which I don't know that she really has any, but I just continue to see her on Facebook at Carly Fiorina events and at the debates. And I would just wonder, is Shelley practicing or getting ready for or rehearsing for maybe a run at public life at some point down the road? Can't help but wonder, Paul.
Yeah, I had the same thoughts, and I would be honored to be able to say President Sun somewhere down the road. It would be
no kidding.
That would be an interesting scenario. Well, Stan, my pleasure as always. Be safe. Hello to everybody at West Coast Franchise Expo. You travel safe. Until next week, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best of this great, great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is out.